The following is a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. It's being offered as non-copyright material, so please feel free to share it with others.
As a means of introduction today, as I was preaching and sharing in the adult Sunday school class, I came to what I considered to be a significantly good point. And I said, boy, that'd be a good place for an amen. And I was being kind of quiet. Nobody amen. And so what Jeremy has done for us, love technical staff people. It's just great. What Jeremy has done for me today is we have a cue for you. Can you put that up for us? So at the point that I think it's appropriate for you to say amen, or he thinks it's appropriate for you to say amen, we'll be flashing that up there. We may use that for the next couple of months just to pacify my desire for that. But there you go. So yeah, it wasn't something that we planned all week long, but it certainly fell on us this morning. So I guess if that bothers you that we have to use the amen thing, sorry about that, I think. So, praise the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you for the opportunity today to believe you for all that you have in your word, to believe, Father God, that you will touch our hearts, to believe, Father God, that you will change us, that you will help us, Lord God, to be more like you, to be a reflection, Lord God, of who Jesus is in us. So we thank you today, Lord, for what you're doing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Last week in this provision-based living, and you know that I like to teach and build and spend several weeks doing this, and this is the fourth week. This is also the 20th time that I've spoke on this subject in the last 5 years. One of the things that I believe is happening is that this message is beginning to get down inside of a lot of you. And that you're beginning to see that living in a need-based world is just living short of what God has for you. And you might remember that we defined being need-based as living in a state that requires supply. Now, I'm not going to minimize the fact that at times you don't always have everything that you need. The point is a point of perspective. If you need something, you will generally focus on what you lack. And lack will become what you look at. I don't have, I don't have, I don't have. And so you will, by necessity, look in the wrong direction. You'll be looking at what you lack. You'll be focusing on lack. But what the Bible says is that Jesus is our supply. Amen? Amen. Thank you very much. And so Jesus is our supply. So a provision-based living person lives in the recognition that says that God has made provision beforehand. Remember, it's provision. It's before sight. Before. If you can see it, just go grab it. Right? And I didn't bring any money up here. I should have brought some money up here. That would have been very good. Because once you see the provision, I will. Yeah, see, look at him smile right there. If I had a $20 bill, would you beat everybody up here for it if I said I was giving it away? You, who would? You would? You're shaking your head. No, you would beat him? Really? Would you be willing to throw her out of the way if you needed to? Of course. Why? Because you can see the provision. And you say, oh, that's just a silly example, Pastor. Okay, when God said, while you were yet in sin, Christ died for you, is that a silly answer too? Because now you can see the provision that is Jesus Christ for your sin? Is that silly? No, that's what church is based on. I mean, some churches just magnify that so much so that you can't hardly get free from your sin. They're so interested in it. Help me, Jesus. You know, if you base your church on sin, all you got to do is get more of it. But if you base it on blessing, you can focus on a lot of good things, right? How many of you be happier if you could just figure out how to find the blessing that God hid for you? You would. I'll just tell you right now, you would be happier if you would just trip over what God hid for you. Wait, you know, I love to use relationships and things like that because some of you were minding your own business when you tripped over your spouse. You know, all of a sudden, there she was, or there he was. Those of you who worked really hard to find one, hope you're happy. Sorry. Can I just point out something? Somebody told me the other day that you just have to pray to get your, you know, the perfect God-ordained spouse. I'm telling you what, if one person screws that deal up, some of you are in trouble. Because if everybody don't get their perfect one, somebody's marrying your perfect one. And now the whole apple cart is upset. Listen, God is in the business. Who's going to get married in here? Who am I preaching to right now? Anybody? Anybody think of that? Who's raising their hand? You understand this, right? See, I didn't know. You're really going to get married? Congratulations. Does anybody know that besides the people that were sitting next to you? I just announced it publicly, didn't I? You understand? You can work really hard at this, or you can just trip over the one that God has for you. I think it's better to trip over the one, quite honestly. Is he the one, or do I need to chase him off? Sure? Just be sure. That was your brother right there. The test is on its way. How do you feel about all this? Sorry, just talk among yourselves. You okay with him, or do we need to try and chase him off? He's all right? Okay. That's right. Get a second opinion. That's good. Praise God. Okay. Very, very good. Hallelujah. I know a lot of you are thinking this isn't the way church is supposed to be. Yes, it is. Jesus came to live in your heart and move the furniture. You just well deal with that. He's not willing to... Thank you. I don't even have to hold up my sign today. Jesus came to live in your life and move the furniture. If you think you can just slip by, no, he's coming to mess with you. On purpose. Amen. Amen. So we talked last week about the right relationships of works, and we gave you three ways to understand right works. Right works are done in obedience to the Holy Spirit in you. Not in me, not in the person you're sitting by, in you. Done in obedience to the Word of God, in you. Okay, it's non-transferable. Don't look at me and say, Pastor, you should be. No, you're giving me what Word is in you. God is working hard to illuminate inside of me what He's trying to get across to me. The truth as a whole is the same, but the focus of truth for each one of us may very well be different. I need at times different truth than you do. Right? I mean, I was telling them in Sunday school about that young lady that came up to our table at the Whiskey Creek Steakhouse. We were eating out with another pastor. Two pastors drove 2.5 hours to meet at a middle spot. Neither one of us from that town. And God gives us a waitress that flipped a coin that landed on North Platte, Nebraska, which is where we were eating. When she was in Germany, she flipped a coin, landed on North Platte, Nebraska. She moved to North Platte, Nebraska to be our waitress so that we can minister to her. Now, there are some circumstances involved in that. We needed... And then she had to be rude enough to overhear and you know, I thought she was lurking a little bit. You ever had a waitress that lurks? Well, she was listening to our conversation. And so when it was time for her to go, because we spent 4 hours in the restaurant and the shift changed. Well, we did. And so we're sitting there and she comes up kind of sheepishly and she says, I have to go now. But she says, I just need to tell you, I've been listening to your conversation. Are you guys pastors? We said, yes. And then she told us her life story. So... prayed with her. I need different truth sometimes than you do. Right? Not that it's different in that it's just not available to everybody, but God just ministers to us based on what we need, right? Or not. He meets, some of you looking at me like you've never heard anything quite like this, but you know, he meets us right there, which begs the question, if you're not meeting Jesus in what you need, you might be headed in the wrong direction. Ooh, that could hurt. By the way, if you don't run into a little opposition, you're going the wrong direction too. If the devil never tries to stop you from doing stuff, it's because you're running parallel with him. Gets quiet in the Presbyterian church when you say things like that. Ephesians 2, look at verse number 10. It's where we ended last week. For we are His workmanship. Everybody in here was a product of the creative power of our God. Just is that way. We are His. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Literally, the Bible says, just as He chose, Ephesians, can you put Ephesians 1 and 4 up there? Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame. We were chosen. It goes on about the 6th, 8th verse, whatever verse says predestined. You know, a lot of people want to get all worked up about this. No, all that means is that God, in His infinite wisdom, decided that Jesus Christ's sacrifice would be sufficient for everybody. Therefore, He predestined all to be saved if they'll accept Jesus Christ. See, it's not, well, some are predestined to be saved and some are predestined not to be. No, He predestined for all. In fact, David said, Lord, after his sin, he said, Lord, don't blot me out of your book. He was predestined to be chosen by the Savior, just like you. God doesn't write your name down in the book when you accept Jesus Christ. He erases it when you refuse Him. He desires for all to be saved. So when people resist that, you ought to smile. You really ought to smile because they don't know what's going to hit them. God's at work. Don't give up. Don't give up. When you're a knucklehead of a husband, won't listen to the word of God, don't give up. God's at work in them to will and do His good pleasure. Amen. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10 again. For we are workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Look at the next part. Which God prepared beforehand. God prepared inside of the human wiring that you have to create and distribute or cause to function certain giftings and certain things inside of each one of us before you ever hit the earth. They were made beforehand. See, you remember not too long ago we talked and taught out of the book of Hebrews where we were running that race and we were looking unto Jesus and all that kind of stuff. And again, if you remember that, what you'll find is that the race we're running is a race that was designed for us. That's why when you find people who are maybe running the wrong direction, what God does is just pick up the plan, set it down in front of them wherever they are and say, here it is. And if you take another turn, He just picks up the plan. You cannot go far enough to get away from the love that God has for you. He just keeps picking it up, setting it down in front of you. Right? All right, so when we're talking today, then, about the relationship of works in our life, and everybody has these things, oh, I got to do this, I got to do that. The only thing you should consider doing are those things that are in Christ Jesus that are in you. Those are the good works. And I said last week, and I hope you got it, that you can't possibly do good works in a biblical sense without doing them in Jesus. You just can't. You say, well, we should feed the hungry. You shouldn't feed the hungry if you don't do it in Jesus. Dead works are dead works, whether you blame God or not. Come on, some of you are going, we just need to be doing all these things. I'm going to tell you what. There's an anointing of provision that comes when you figure out what God has called you to do. And you can't fail. You cannot fail. So when that anointing that hits you because you've believed Him for that healing thing that's inside of you bubbling around all the time, you can't fail in that. You can't fail. And what is the church? Well, I'm just such a failure. No, you're not. It's not possible to fail. If you're the only one in the race, what ribbon do you get? It's not a participation ribbon. Well, let it cook for a second. You say, oh, no, there's all kinds of people. No, it is a race that's yours. A great cloud of witnesses cheering you on. Surrounding you. It's your race. You win. Read the back of the book. We should walk in them. Now, when we get to this place, and we're talking about works again, we have to now talk about the kind of works that the Bible says we should labor to be in. Now, it's kind of hard to balance this out, but I want you to hear it, and I want you to begin to process it, because there are works, and already I can hear the minds turning. Oh yeah, well, we need to be doing this. No. When a man realizes that Jesus Christ has done all of it, then we have to cease from our labor like He did. So what's the works that we have to do? We have to labor to enter into the works that continues to convince us that He doesn't need anything from us. You can't work your way into His good pleasure. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 4. Let me show you this. I had all kinds of scriptures, and this is the one that I just think I'll just use this one. Notice it says, I'm going to read a good pile of this here in chapter 4, so just hang with me. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. What's the goal? Rest. I know that the church teaches you the goal is to get busy. Can I tell you that Satan is not trying to get you to be evil child murderers, and he's just trying to keep you so busy that you'll ignore God. Okay? There's a rest that enters. Right or not? Y'all tracking with me? Kind of quiet out there. For indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So again, when you hear this today, you're going to have to mix this with a little bit of faith. You're going to have to fight the urge. Let me just give you the point of this. I'm going to read all this, but just turn over, if you would please, to verse number 11. It says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. One version says, let us labor to enter that rest. Look at the 10th verse. For he who has entered his rest has he himself also ceased from his work as God did from his. The labor he's talking about is not a physical work. It's a diligency. It's a labor of the mind that says, no, I don't have to do this. Jesus does. See, that's why you never fail in that anointing, because it's not up to you. None of you will fail in the anointing. It's not up to you. Which, by the way, should get many more of you out of your seats to pray for people, because if it's not about you and you can't fail, then what is it that you're concerned about? Huh. Verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. How do you enter rest? Striving to believe. Come on. You should have shouted this one out. I'm sorry. It's just like school. I know some of you thought that when you got old you'd get out, but you don't. For we who have believed do enter that rest. It is impossible to enter rest without believing that rest exists. You won't move towards what you believe doesn't exist. You know why that young Mr. McDaniel hasn't tackled me yet? Because he knows I don't have any money. I said, man, I wish I would have brought some money up here. Now, there is money on my desk. And if you run and get it while this service is going on, we're going to have a conversation. Okay? Because you know it exists now on my desk. So if he was to run towards what he believes, by the way, I believe there's a $50 bill in my money clip and two passes that somebody gave us to go to the movies. He makes his own money. Praise God. He just does his own work. He doesn't need anybody. He's not going to chase that down. But why is it that we run towards things that don't exist? Why do we run towards... If it's not possible for you to gain God's attention by doing anything better. But what do? We run toward... We labor to get God's attention. How many of you think God has looked at you once already today? Everybody know God's watching? Right? He's looking. He's wondering sometimes why you're working so hard. He'd like to just give you stuff. You say, oh, Pastor, that just sounds too much like that prosperity stuff. Well, you can call it whatever you would like, But if Jesus did all the work, I don't know what the struggle is. He who has believed, do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When was everything finished? Why are we trying to finish it now? Why do we labor to finish the work of Jesus? Again, I'm trying to point out to you that if we're going to labor to enter rest, we're going to have to understand the labor he's talking about. This is that soulish conversation that says, I don't have to do it, he's done it. Get in that line. The line that says Jesus did it. Anybody done enough that God doesn't love you? You know, done enough bad things that God doesn't love you as much as he loves me? Where does that exist? That exists right up here. If I had a nickel for every time somebody said to me, I've done more than, you know, you just don't know, Pastor, what I've done. You know, it's just a terrible deal. I've done so much. First of all, you don't know who I've talked to. And I'll just tell you right now, there is nobody in this room, no one in this room that measures up to some of the things that I've heard. You want to hear some of them? There's serious ugliness in the world. Are you aware of that? I mean, serious ugliness in the world. And people get involved in the ugliness. And then they think God doesn't love them. Actually, I think I know why people don't think God loves them. Does anybody want to know that? It's because the people of Jesus Christ refuse to love people who aren't like them. Ouch. That one hurt. See, it's hard to love people when they don't measure up. Right? I mean, it's hard. Just really hard. But that's not our job. Now, I didn't say you weren't supposed to judge. Don't leave here and go, oh, Pastor, don't think... The people who are saying, judge not, you know, you shouldn't judge, they had to judge us to tell us we were judging, to tell us not to judge. Inside of us is a compass of right and wrong. Okay? And we're all finding our way, amen? So there is going to be some judgment in there. So there's some stupid stuff you ought to stop doing. I just judged you. By the way, I believe it's righteous judgment. Quit doing stupid stuff. See, the works to make you like Jesus were finished a long time ago. Verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains, verse 6, that some must enter in. Those to whom it was first preached did not enter in because of what? Disobedience. Now listen, this is talking about a specific group of people. And what they were trying to do was to use the adequacy of the law to enter in. But because they were disobedient to the law, they couldn't enter in. So when God sent Jesus along, they said, this is not the way to enter in. This crazy Galilean man is not the Savior that God sent. And so they refused to enter in, not only through disobedience initially, but then they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. You have to accept Jesus to enter in. Verse 7, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Again, that's where this takes place, a quote from the Old Testament. He says, listen, if the rest would have come through the coming into the promised land, remember Moses didn't lead the people into the promised land, Joshua did. Moses couldn't go in because when God gave him the rock, remember, and God said, speak to the rock, Moses picked up his stick and whacked it. He struck the rock, and that rock was the rock that was following them that was Jesus. And how do you get to Jesus? Through confession, through what you say. And he said, you can't enter in because you didn't do You see, it's a picture. It won't do you any good beat up the situation here, right? How do you get saved? Confession. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Please, if somebody asks you that question, don't say prayer. You know, we pray so we can figure out the right and wrong of things, and there's no wrong in salvation. His answer is always yes and amen, right? Very good. If Joshua had given them rest, then he would have not afterward have spoken another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works. And again, this is talking about the specifics of it, but it's talking about ceasing from your religious works. And so again, the only good works, the only works that you should be striving to enter into are the conversational ones that say, quit trying to do it yourself. That's the labor he's talking about. That's the striving that he's talking about. Amen? All right, let's look at the 10th verse again then. For he has entered his rest as he himself has also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent, study, labor to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Again, disobedience meaning that God said you can't do this in your own power. So if we get back to what our principle is when we're talking about provision-based living, we have to say to ourselves that God has done everything in Jesus Christ that we need. All the provision that we need, both physical, emotional, soulish, financial, it's all accomplished in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 12, it's his good pleasure to give us the kingdom. That kingdom mentality, as it is in heaven, let it be done here on earth. It's his good pleasure to do that for us. So as we process this now, one of the ways that we labor to enter into his rest is to consistently be renewed in our mind that says, wait a minute, this doesn't require me. This doesn't require me. I don't have to do it. The success of the situation is not based on me. It's based on the accomplishment of Jesus Christ. And so we labor to be there. Now, why am I spending so much time on this? Well, turn with me, if you will, to the book of Galatians chapter 5. And I will close with this, but hopefully you'll get it. Notice what it says here. Verse number 1 of Galatians 5. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty or freedom by which Christ has made us free. See, once we get saved, a lot of times what happens is that we get saved and then the church or good-thinking religious people begin to put things on us. And they say, oh, now you have to do this and now you have to do that and you should do this and you should do that. No, let's stand in the liberty. Now, I want to point something out to you. Freedom or liberty is more attractive than bondage. Okay? And these are just simple things. But notice what it says here. He has made us free and do not be entangled again. You've been broken free of the entanglement of religious lack of liberty. You've been broken free from the bondage that says, do this, don't do that. And I know this is simple teaching, but we've got to help people understand this, that you're not a good Christian based on what you do. Right? Why are you a good Christian? Because of what Jesus did. Nothing you can do will make you any better. Did he put it up? Oh, yeah, there, thank you. That's a pretty good deal. I think we've got to keep that around. You know what I want is I want an owe me one too. Okay? So occasionally we can put that one up. Stand fast, hold tight to the liberty, to the freedom which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, he's talking about a work which was preached to the Galatian church that was supposed to profit them. But he says, listen, if you become circumcised for circumcision, for that thing to do something, then Christ will not profit you. Again, I testify, every man who becomes circumcised, that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. Now, this is not about the physical act of circumcision necessarily. It's about the circumcision of the heart that God does for us. Okay? Verse 4, you have become estranged from Christ by thinking that the works that you do can fix your life. You attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Okay. Come on, music team. Here's what I want you to get today. We know that we're saved by grace. We know that. But the minute that we try to do our own works, the minute that we try and fix things by our own ways, the Bible says we're estranged from Christ and separated from the grace of God. I don't know a single person in here who doesn't want to maintain that connection with grace that says, I get what I don't deserve from a God who loved me through Jesus Christ. Works will estrange you from that. So again, labor. Have the renewing conversation in your mind. The renewing conversation in your mind that says, I don't have to strive to do all the good works. I have to strive to do the work of trusting Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hope you learned something. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Father, thank you today. We bless you, Lord God. We bless you for all that you do, Father. But we also thank you, Lord, that you've called us to liberty, that you've called us to freedom. So, Father, we thank you today that we can stand fast in that freedom, Father. That we can labor to enter the rest that you've purchased for us. That continual pulling back on the reins of humanness to be Christ-like in all our endeavors. To stay out of the way, Lord God, of the work that you've done in us and the work that you do through us. So, Father, thank you today. Thank you today, Father, just like your word says, that you are faithful to do what you've promised. So thank you, Father, that we can come to you boldly, to that throne of grace to obtain. Come boldly to that throne to obtain the grace and mercy that you've already planned for us, Father. So thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of New Life Christian Center in Eckley, Colorado. Our phone number is 970-359-2424, and our website is newlifeeckley.com. Thank you for listening, and feel free to share this material with others. Our main service begins at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, and we hope to see you at New Life Christian Center.